All right, packed room. People are excited about S-bombs. That's good. We're getting there. Let me just prefix this entire conversation with, I am not a lawyer. Speak to your lawyer. We got to talk about CRA, so there is legal implications. I'm also going to say, before I dive into the actual talk, I'm going to do what this talk is not about, right? This is not a complete CRA compliance guide. That's a lot more complicated than you could possibly squeeze into 30 minutes. The second thing is, this is not going to be a theoretical exercise. I think a lot of talks, and it's good that we talk about the theoretical things, what can be done and cannot be done, but this talk is not about that. This is actually actionable, what you can do today using existing tools. And it's not about achieving perfection. It's about achieving something from nothing. And I think that's an important distinction. So we don't try to overwhelm users that are coming into this, thinking about CRA or trying to be CRA compliant. So a lot of talks have been about perfection, achieving everything. This is not for that audience. This is for 99% of all the users out there that are going to be compliant or need to be compliant with CRA. This is for them. We like to talk about S-bombs and intricate details of S-bombs, and that's great. We need to have those conversations. That's perfect. That's what a lot of us in this room are really excited about. But let's be real. The vast majority of customers or people that need to be compliant with CRA, they don't care. They have business need, and they need to solve it, right? That's what this talk is about, zero to something, right? So what we're looking to do is, what's that easy button, right? So how do you go from nothing to something that is getting in the right direction? So we can assume that the vast majority of these users, they don't care about SBOM formats. They don't care about the intricate details about the various details in the SBOM, which we might find super exciting and super interesting for a technical exercise. But the reality is, most users will not care about that, right? And like Anthony's talk this morning, it's really good about diving into the exact, like perfect runtime SBOM, right? That's great. Like, we need that too, but let's not lose track of that the vast majority of users just want this tick box, right? So I'm going to paraphrase Sarah Flux, who was one on the CRA technical committee. And when I talked to her about SBOMs, her point was, it's about showing effort. It's not about perfect. And I think that's an important sentiment going into this, right? We don't need the perfect SBOM to capitalize everything. It would be fantastic if we can get to that. We shouldn't lose track of trying to get to that. But we need to go from zero to something. And I think that's really big. So I'm fully cognizant that this is not bulletproof, and there are a lot of variables in there that are complicated. But let's just focus on getting you something from nothing, right? Now, we talk about CRA. Reading legislation, that's a bit theoretical. The most practical implementation of, or interpretation of the CRA is the BSI. They published the documentation on this now, the 2.1, which was released relatively recently. And it talks about what they expect from their sponsor, right? I'm sure you can barely read this. If you can, fantastic. But a lot of this is simple. Like, it talks about it should be machine readable. It should be using certain formats. It should be using what else did they have in there? Dependency graphs, like all those things. But they have one thing that is somewhat problematic. One of the things they say is you should have SHA-552 hashes all your components. Well, no package manager out there, to my knowledge, does that. Maybe some do, but it's very, very rare, right? I mean, you still see MD5s, right? So, yeah, do you have any comments? Okay. Okay, so there's maybe one, but like I would say that it's a very much an edge case, right? The vast majority will not do that. The vast majority don't even have hashes if you look at the log files, right? So most of this stuff is not crazy complicated, but this is the exact definition they have. Again, this is probably not readable, but this is kind of what we're aiming for. Right, we aim for like a dependency graph, good quality S-bombs, really, right? So how did I even get into this? So 2 years ago, I was in a company that was doing secure design. Secure design managed SBOMs, so we kind of got into this curve. Me going into this assumed that SBOM generation was kind of a solved problem 2 years ago. Well, turns out it really wasn't. You can generate an SBOM really easily. That's not hard. There are plenty of tools out there will generate an SBOM. Generate high quality SBOM that meets NTIA minimum elements back then is a lot more difficult. So I did something about that. I joined CISA's working group on, and we created this group about SBOM generation. And we worked for 6 or 8 months on developing a blueprint for how you generate high quality SBOMs. So we came up with this blueprint, which is a 4-step process for how you bake a good quality SBOM. And the first one is creation. So there are plenty of tools out there to do creation, usually from a log file, but it can be from a Docker image or anything, right? So, but that part is kind of the most solved problem, generating the SBOM, right? There are plenty of tools out there. The next part we call the augmentation phase. And the augmentation phase is where you take that SBOM that you generated, but you inject it then with relevant information that you as a company would only have. What's the life cycle of this? Who are you as a company? What's the supplier? All these things that NTIA minimum elements require that essentially none of the SBOM generators will actually do for you because they don't have the information, simply. The information is not in your log file, therefore they can't do it. The next phase we did then was the enrichment. And that's when you look at the SBOM and the quality of the SBOM directly correlates to the quality of the log file, because that's usually the source here. So then you take the log file, and then you try to take that information and make it better by enriching it using ecosystem data. Back then, we were using Parley from Sneak. That was kind of the best tool by the time, and which in turn is really just a thin layer in front of ecosystem.ms. So it takes that data, enriches it, and tries to produce a better quality SBOM. And then the last phase is the signing. So like this runs in your CI, you should sign it in your CI, that's your source of truth, right? So those were the building blocks that we designed. And when we did this work, it was kind of hackish. Like a lot of it was like, you had to parse your SBOM using JQ and inject data. And it was really, really like hackish. So why do I bring this up in a CRA discussion? Well, if you're looking at the CRA, and you look at the NTA, or CISA now, minimum element, it kind of shapes the Venn diagram. They ask for slightly different things, but there's a lot of overlap, right? But if we can generate a good quality SBOM, we can kind of knock both out in the same go. But again, the constraint is we need to make this easy for users, because we have to assume that users, they do not care about the intricate details of the various formats. They just want something that they can solve the problem. They have a business problem they want to solve for, and therefore then they want to move on, right? So we're aiming for solving both these problems in one go. So pretty bold, I would say. And then I think to make it a bit more complicated, Martha's talk this morning kind of outlined this, right? SBOMs are not one thing. SBOMs are complicated because the real world is complicated. Yes, in a small open source project, it's kind of simple because your scope is kind of narrow. The real world is a lot more complicated than that. You have your smart thermostat has maybe like a backend component. It has a firmware. It gets complicated. So you need to do release cycle management for all of that. And we need to be mindful of that when we talk about this debate as well. Because like when does end of life and all that stuff affect? Because these components are probably shared across other products, which makes it even more complicated, right? And then I'm going to add one more constraint, which is we're going to do all of this in CI. And that's really, really important. Because if you've got to trust SBOM for like legal reasons, you need to have attestation back to your CI pipeline so you can actually trust what's going in there, right? So here's the aspiration. Can we, with 5 lines, well, I guess 7, lines of YAML, solve this problem? That's the thesis. Can we do this? Because it's actually not trivial. And what we come up with is this project called SBOM for Action. And it's open source. And I would say it's more glue than tool. Yes, there's some tooling in there, but it's more glue. And it's an opinionated tool that is format agnostic. And we try to be fully agnostic so that users can build whatever they need to build, right? So essentially, we're trying to build a unicorn here, right? We try to take away all the complicated stuff from the user and just do it for them, right? So what does that look like? So in the generation phase, we have the usual suspects, right? So we package up Trivi, SIF, CDXGen, all these tools we have out there, and we kind of package them into one container so that when the user presents a log file, which it oftentimes is, we pick the best tool for the job, right? So from a quality perspective, the native tools, such as CycleNDX Python library, tend to generate a lot better SBOMs, or high-quality SBOM, than, say, the generic tools like SIFT. So we pick that. So it's an opinionated piece of software that we make the decisions on behalf of the user to optimize for the best quality output. And this is an ongoing thing. If we find tools that score better and do better SBOMs, we can just default to that. It's an evolution, really, right? And a bit nudge to the SPDX community, the Cyclone tools are a lot better. So there are very few SPDX tools out there for actually generating SBOMs from log files, whereas the Cyclone has a lot better tools for that. The SPDX tend to have to go for the generic tools. So just that would be good to see more tools for that. All right, so the next phase. The next phase is the enrichment. So we start out using just Parlay. That's what we started with, a system working group. We used Parlay. Quickly realized that ecosystem is really good, but we can do better. So now we have native integrations with crates, Dart, Rapology, Clear Define. We basically try to do the best integrations we can to provide the best output as possible, which usually means going directly to the databases originally. We also then added some stuff like native integration for licenses, so we parse all like the Debian and Python and a few other distros licenses, so we can kind of do license parsing on that, so we built something called LicenseDB. And then we do lifecycle database as well, so major frameworks and operating systems, we can enrich those automatically to give the user a really good high quality SBOM without them even knowing what's going on, right? Show, don't tell. Let's see how this actually goes. So in order to start, we need to gather information that we can't infer, right? So we've created this little tool that, in this example, we're using a Python log file as the PyProject file, right? So we're using UV and PyProject as a sample example. But we now need to gather information that we can't actually infer at all. So we've written this little tool. Which is part of the SBOM Info Action module, which is available as a Docker image or as a Python package, or Docker image is usually the best way because then you can get all the tools packaged. But we need to fill out information like who's the supplier, what's the supplier URL. So this is kind of NTIA minimum element things that we need to get in there. Again, we're aiming for the Venn diagram to cover both, right? Contact information, contact emails. This fills you out. Then we need to fill out the manufacturer, another requirement. Oftentimes, the manufacturer is the same as the supplier, but not always. So we need to consider both environments, right? So then we need to add the manufacturer, and then, oops, got some typos in there, sorry. you get the idea, though. So we now filled out the organization, now we need to fill out the author, which is another example of something that's required in the NTIA minimum element framework, right? So we're filling out the author, and then now we need to add license information. Sometimes you can infer that, sometimes you cannot, right? So let's ask. So in this case, we just have a drop-down, so you can select, oh, it's Apache 2. Cool, let's bake that in. Now we need to inform about security. This is something that CRA requires. How do you contact the vendor about the security issue? Well, in this example, we're just going to use a requirement, a secure.txt file. We take that data, we ask the user, can also be a person. To your point, Anthony, about build cycles, here we ask the people about the build cycle. We also ask about life cycle phase. We also ask about release dates and all those things. When is the whole thing end of life, right? These are things we can't infer at all. We need to ask the user about these things because you can't figure it out. Like, there's literally no way to automatically figure this out, right? So now we're done. We take all this data we stashed a JSON file called spotify.json. Now, we will then use this information in the further build steps. And you can either commit this file to your repo, you can also use our API, you can build that there, so you can have the same thing that's shared across multiple projects, but for the sake of this demo, I'm going to use it in the JSON file, right? So, again, we have a basic Python package. We use the Spotify action module to build this JSON file by just walking through a wizard, and then we add lifecycle data and so forth, right? Great, so far so good. Now we're going to do the generation. So in the generation, I'm using the Python example here, right? This, I have the Python library installed, I'm running it, and I'm just pointing to the log file, and you can see a bunch of information here, right? So not only did we run the tool, we also started doing other things. So what we realized when we started doing this is that most of the generators will not write hashes to your spot. Now that's a requirement, right? So we need to have hashes. So we take that, we enrich it with hashes, because we have to assume that we don't know, in this phase, we don't know how it was generated, right? Because we use multiple tools, we can't make assumptions about that. So we need to validate. So if you're using SIFT or Trivy, you may not have all the information that a native tool would give you, right? So we make some assumptions there. We chuck the data in there. And I'm not sure you saw at the very end, but I used, just to be independent, I used SMQS to be scoring that SMOL. So we got a score of 6.3. Okay, not terrible, but we're not done yet, right? Now, augmentation. Remember that JSON file we created? This is where that comes into play. So it takes the SBOM that we generated in step one, and just for clarity, in the real world, you wouldn't use mass faces, you would do all in one go, right? It would take the entire, all three steps that we have here and do them in one go. But just for illustrative purposes, I've broken them up to really show what each phase does, right? So as you can see here, it adds a bunch of data. Like, for instance, we know the author, we need supplier, we need the lifecycle event. We know all this information now because we built Despom with that tool, right? So augmentation, we have that, right? All the data we add from the wizard. This is where it gets interesting. This is the enrichment part. This is where the interesting data happens, right? So we can now look at that SBOM, and then we can go in the ecosystem and look to fill in all the blanks that are missing, right? So we are, in this example, operating the Python well because it's a Django package. So we are now looking at PyPy. What data is PyPy, right? So we're pulling in all that PyPy data. We are pulling in lifecycle data from our database. So we know it's Django. We know a version of Django. Well, because we know the version of Django, we also know when that version of Django is EOL. So we have a lifecycle database. We just chuck that in there so that when you inspect the SBOM, you can see exactly when this particular component is end of life. The same goes for an operating system and for a lot of the various packages that we have. So you can see from the audit trail here, it's doing a lot of things. It also adds description, homepage, all these things that CRA requires you to have about all your packages. It kind of fetches that from PyPy in this example. We then do some other nice things, like we normalize the data and so forth. And then one interesting thing we discovered when we started looking at these at scale was there's a lot of normalization needs to happen because you're pulling data from across ecosystems and various data sources. Things like URL structures are very inconsistent, right? Because we try to populate things like where the source code from this package from. That is all parsed and normalized. And then we clean up all the perls and all that stuff to make a really good quality SBOM. So this is essentially what we did in this phase, right? And again, bear in mind, 7 lines of YAML in your Docker Hub, in your GitHub Action pipeline. So this does not require you to be an expert at SBOMs to generate a high quality SBOM, right? So it went from 6.2 to 8.5. which I think is a pretty good jump into terms of completeness. And if you go and compare that to what actually CRA requires, we've ticked most of the boxes here. We haven't ticked the SHA-512 box because Python doesn't do that or UV doesn't do that. So unless we're going to go back and recalculate those hashes, we can't quite do that. But again, we kind of want to raise the bar and we want to show effort. The goal is not perfect. The goal is zero to high quality with minimal effort. So did it work? Well, this is the output from SPMQS, if you're scoring the input with the output here. And I'd say we've done pretty well, given that, again, 7 lines of YAML in your GitHub Action pipeline, or whatever pipeline you're using, we have built essentially a high-quality SBOM from a log file, and I think the reality is that's what 99% of the users out there will be looking for when they need to look into CRA. So I hope that's helpful, and that's essentially my talk. I'm very happy to take any questions if you got any. That's the link to the, well, I'll put up a link to the talk later, but that's the GitHub Action module on GitHub. And yeah, now questions. First one here.
So you talked about the manual enrichment of data, like architecture, security, stuff like that. That is part of a contract. That's the procurement department. They have no idea on what CLI is, what a JSON file is, how to put that in there. My engineers know that, what those things are, but they don't know what in the contract is. Any thoughts and ideas on that? How to...
So you're talking more about commercial projects, more so an open source project. So the question is, when you do all this stuff, and not so much for open source, but when you're talking about commercial items, I think that's largely an unsolved problem right now. How you, the format supported, both Cyclone and SPX, they support it, right? But I think it's largely like, I haven't seen any large scale implementation of that. I'm sure other people have, but I haven't actually seen that, because most of the things I've been exposed to has been commercial project built on top of open source, and that's kind of like what's in scope there. I'm sure other people have, but I don't have any good opinions about that, if I'm being honest. I know it can be done, but I haven't seen much about around that. Yes, question back.
You show on the last slide the conformity report for the CLI, is here
A. Yeah.
Is there any sort of automated link to put your output into that format, more like automatically for non-technical people?
So SPMQS does BSI 2.0. 2.1, I haven't seen anyone yet, because that was a relatively recent report. We are probably going to write one. So we have automated checks on our backend. So when you push that to the Spotify platform, which is also available, you can run yourself on self-host, then you can then do write plugins that can check that. So the idea is to have a plugin for BSI 2.1 where you do that mapping and say, thumbs up, you pass all the checks. But yet to be written yet. This is more about the generation piece, not so much the validation piece yet. I'll get there. Anthony?
I have a tool that takes that and converts that to an HTML page.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Mr. Tools himself got a tool. Any more questions? Yeah, one here.
Whenever people produce their SBOMs, like, where do they typically store them?
Mm. Love that question, because it's something that we never really talk about. Sorry? The question is, you've generated your SBOM, where do you store it, right? Literally the reason why I got excited about this space in the first place. Because a lot of people come from an open source angle, they say, chucked in GitHub, and that's part of the release. Great, works great for an open source project, not for the real world. That is literally what the backend component this does. It ships the SBOM to the backend, you can do release management, across, I mean, if you go back to the slide with the tree, that you can do release on the top level that points to all the other parts. So grab me afterwards and I can explain that in details, but that's literally the other piece of the puzzle that I haven't even talked about in this talk because too much ground to cover. But yes.
So, yes. Oh. Sorry, we're out of time.
We're out of time, all right. Thanks everybody.
Thanks very much, thanks Victor.